Okay, so you guys got the outlines, sent this out, okay? So I realized, originally I was going to do 9 points on this debt, then I realized, oh man.
I'm very ambitious.
Yeah, that was too ambitious. Then I realized, okay, we're just going to do 3, was all I had time for with that, okay? So now, if you guys just recap, in the first month I went over about the importance, like spiritually, to be concerned about our kids spiritually, like well-being, right? Not just physically, not whether or not they go to Harvard or that. Though that's important, that's good, but the goal is what? Is spiritual first, right? Their salvation. In the second, last week, February, or last week, last month, we went over about just what happens if we don't discipline. You guys remember? We look at the story of Eli's two sons. You guys remember that? Where the lack of discipline, what happened to the kids? They ruined themselves, right, and brought dishonor. So in light of this today, this month, and hopefully next month, maybe it'll be 2 or 3 weeks long, we'll be also looking at just the steps of discipline. At least for me, I was actually very convicted, just to really think about, hey, how do I discipline, and how could I grow, how could I be better. So I'm not coming to you guys saying, hey, you know, you guys all messed up. I'm saying we all need to work on this. And we're our kids are fortunately very, very what? Young. Still, so hopefully by God's grace, it allows us with that. And when, for me, I felt like even this last year, even talking more to the parents in the Chinese side, whose kids are much older, I feel like, wow, we have an opportunity by God's grace, hopefully, to think biblically now before kids and when our kids are still very young, versus when they're all of a sudden 17 and saying, what could the church help with my kid? I was like, whoa, 17. We only have 1 more year left, you know. We only have 1 more year left. So how much more so we think about doing it right now, okay? So disciplining your kids. We're going to look at 3 B's, okay? So next time we'll look at hopefully 6 or 3 more or 4 more or whatever else. We'll see 3 B's concerning how to discipline your kids. This is actually more foundational, but this is more, I'm heading towards a step of actually disciplining our kids. Actually disciplining our kids, okay? So point number 1 is what? Be clear with rules. Thank you. Okay. Be clear with rules. Point number 2 is be self-control. Okay. And then third point is be
in a private place.
Yeah. Okay. That you discipline them in a private place. Okay. So these are the 3 points we want to look at today. Okay. So this is a lot of this foundational for discipline. Okay. So the first one we want to go over is being clear with what rules. Okay. Being clear with rules. I think even as disciplining with kids, before we even spank them, but we'll get to that next time when we talk about the 5 S. Okay, I spent too long trying to alliterate everything. Okay, 3 B's. The next time will be 5 S with that. Okay, so even we'll look at it is biblical to spank, because I know today some people don't believe in spanking, but I think actually Scripture teaches there is a place. But I think sometimes people associate physical abuse with what? Discipline. But the two are, it's not either or. Or is that just because you're disciplined, therefore you're abusing? Does that make sense? So we'll look more of that later. And I think actually the guidelines are helpful. So the first one is be clear with the rules. And there's 2 reasons why I say we got to be clear with the rules even before we ever discipline our kids. Even before we ever spank them. I think it's very important for us as parents, our responsibility to be clear of the rules. And by the way, even in talking about this, this is not just only, we're just learning how to punish our kids. This is what we're doing the next 3 months. It's also, I think, while we're looking at this, is also a lot of it is also God changing us. Okay, like, I feel like the pastor, sometimes counseling people would not necessarily change. It's up to their responsibility and all that. But the one that should always change is who? You, the one who's speaking truth to others, okay? So point number 1, be clear with rules. There's 2 reasons why. Reason number 1, we are to teach God's rule clear enough to be a guide for children's life, okay? So we have to be very clear that, I think God's word is very clear that when we teach our kids, it should be we teach it so that God's word is so clear enough that it could be applied, okay? Could be applied, okay? I think theology in the Bible could be really deep, okay? Could be very, very deep. But I think the goal is often to apply. So you need to know your audience. And that's one of the reasons why I'm all into teaching. You know what I do every Friday evening before I get here? When I race back home? So Bible study here is what? What time is it? It's 7, okay? Some of us think it's 7:30, whatever, right? But before that, it's good time learning. And I don't cancel teaching the little kids. You know why? Not that I get paid. I don't care. Hey, I go there. Why? Because I want souls, okay? I want treasures in heaven. And I actually like doing it because as much as I love great theology, teaching overseas, you know, applying my second master's in theology, there's something about teaching kids that makes me think, hey, you know what? I need to always apply it as simple as possible so that I could understand, right? Actually, I think teaching kids trained me to preach more than even like getting fancy, whatever, study theology classes, okay? So we want to be able to teach God's rules clear enough to be a guide for children's life. Let's turn to Psalms 119, 105, okay? Psalms 119, 105. By the way, here is everyone teaches too, right? Wives are also teachers with the, what? Kids too. It's not a role only of men, okay? Or the husbands. It's all of us, okay? When we turn to Psalm 119, verses 105, we're just going to go around reading. Margaret, would you be able to read Psalm 119, 105 for us? Yeah, you can read from now.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
How many of you guys read that and you guys think of a song, by the way? Okay. How many of you guys read that and you guys were singing, just reading it? Okay. Do you realize there's some things we can't memorize without singing, right? Like if I ask you what's the ABC, for whatever reason, everyone just starts singing, right? ABC, right? With all that, okay? So your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, okay? And of course, this is talking about God's word. The imagery is a lamp, helping someone walk in the dark. And that's notice how God's word is that lamp that guides us. So I think while the theology, the Bible can be really, really deep, yet also I think it's also shallow enough that even kids can help for their lives, okay? So we need to be teaching God's word clearly, even before we discipline them, okay? I hope it wouldn't be your kids. The only time you ever do a Bible study with them is when they're in trouble, right? Say, hey, here, come here. Let me open up to you the book of Proverbs and emphasize a B and yeah, beating and for, you know, lecture, exactly, okay? Then they're going to associate the Christianity with what? Only a manipulative tool to get what the parents want them to do, right? And by the way, even this last year, one of the person I was counseling was also saying the same thing, like, you don't know, my mom only talks to me about the Bible only when I don't do well in school, only when I get a B. I was like, wow. If that's the case, that's a sad Christianity, right? And I feel like every time I visit, when the mom wants me to visit, it's really because, like, I'm their hired gun. But then look at what happened to the child. And then they come over, the pastor will say, oh, the church is doing it. And pastor will say, what are you talking about? Look at your own parents. You know, pastor, do you understand he's not like, he's a little unvarnished. He's going to stay as it is. Right? And sometimes you need that. Right? I'll come in gentler, kinder, newer school, whatever. But at the same time, like, hey, you know what? Sometimes, like, and even myself, like, to that mom, like, hey, you know, you can't be blaming everyone else. You blame everyone else in your whole life except for your own parenting. So here we see here, okay, we're to teach God's word clearly, even beforehand, okay? Let's go to reason number two. Reason number two. You don't want to exasperate your kids if expectations aren't clear, okay? You don't want to exasperate your kids if expectations aren't clear. Let's turn to Colossians 3:21. Colossians 3:21. I've never taught Bible study or is it background music? It's so dramatic. Nancy, would you be able to read Colossians 3:21?
Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged.
Yeah, I think this is assuming that the father does have a role of disciplining your kids. I think there's a role of mothers too, but at the same time, I think you think about it oftentimes that maybe growing up, when we get in trouble sometimes, or in some household, when no one's listening to the mom says, wait till you're what? Father comes home, right? And the dad comes, and then, oh no, right? What's that? Okay. So here, Colossians 3:21 says that fathers shouldn't exasperate their kids. And I think one of the ways you could exasperate them is if it's not clear, right? What is the rule? Like, if all of a sudden you didn't tell the rules clearly and then all of a sudden you're spanking them, and they don't know where's the boundaries of what is permitted and what is not permitted. And therefore, they easily could be in a world where they say, hey, just living through the whims of what my father, and therefore, you're going to be very, what, exasperated. So in light of this, I think we should make rules clear because in light of these two reasons, God's word is very clear enough to be a guide, so we need to instruct them in that way to be clear. Right. So let's go to application. This is from a pastor. He He said, as a matter of Paul to Lucius, as a matter of principle, we recommend that you not spank your child for violating instructions that you have not made clear, unless the safety or the life of the child or another is in danger. Does that make sense? They're saying if there's no rule, unless it's what, like the kid run across the street or do something really dangerous, right? Like, you know, find a gun, and he was like, oh, I never told him that. No. So life danger or endangering another's, right? In general, okay. And so second application point, it's important, it's helpful when you tell a child a rule to have them look at you with their eye, so you know the rule is heard and received and understood, okay. This is applicable for all kids, okay? The importance of eye contact sometimes. I'm saying, hey, this is what it is. And even myself, sometimes I tell the kids, and they run off, and they look like they didn't hear you. And I say, hey, come here, look me in the eye, right? Look me in the eye. Did you hear what I said, right? That prevents a lot of what. You want to love them enough? I hope we love them enough that we also, you know, sometimes we don't want to spank them, but sometimes the best thing is being proactive by actually telling them, instructing them ahead of time. Say, hey, before you run up, it looks like you didn't hear me. Come over here. Did you hear, you know, that? Or sometimes before I leave, say, hey, before I leave, you know, go home, pastoral visitation, you know, whatever, I tell the kids, like, hey, could it be very clear you listen to your, what? Your mom, okay? And then before that, it's also, hey, you guys are all just too busy hugging, and it's so sweet. But then also, I was okay. Just look me in the eye real quick. Please listen to your mom. Listen and obey and have a good attitude. And you should do what? Quickly, among many other things, okay? So I think there's an importance of having eye contact. Third point is application. At times, it might even be helpful to have the child explain the rule you have for them, okay? It's not just only you tell, you do all the work. Sometimes also ask, hey, what is the rule? Okay. One of the things that I really love every night that I like to do, or every night when I'm here, is when I pray with the girls, sometimes I'll ask them, okay, dear God, you know, they say, dear God, and then say, you know, thank you for the day, and they say, thank you for the day, and I'll say, Hannah, and then she says, thank God for food, you know, everything else, right? And say, forgive us our sin, and say, forgive us our sin, okay, Rebecca, and you know, down the line, and then they confess everything. Sometimes things that you didn't know, like, oh, and I want that, right, to God. So I think in light of that, right, same way, use that principle, have the child explain the rule to you ahead of time also as well, okay? Help the child know the rule with repetition. I think it's important not to say, oh, I told you once. Sometimes it is what, like all of us too, you need to be told what? More than one time, okay? More than one time. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19. Deuteronomy 11, 19. Could I have Chris read to me Deuteronomy 11, verse 19?
You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
Okay. Here it talks about that we must teach our kids the word of God, right? This is in context of Israel, after they left, going into the promised land after they left Egypt, okay? Second generation. Notice that the command to teach things about God to the kids, because it says you shall teach them. But also what it's teaching is not just only stories, because verse 22 talks about what? That we must obey what? Carefully keep his commandments. So that includes rules also as well. So in regards to kids, also I think it's important that we teach them the rule. But notice it describes the different situations. So it's not just a one-time thing. What, four different situations mentioned. When you sit in the house, you had a question, I'll come back to you when I finish this.
Okay.
When you sit in the house, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Okay. You had a question?
The funny thing I learned about the Orthodox Jews, that they take these verses a little too literally. They literally have a box of scripture and tape it, wrap it around their head.
Yeah.
And then a box of scripture and tape it to the doorpost.
Yeah. And also their hands.
And also they find them on their arms and they wrap it around. I'm like, is this really gonna make you more godly? Seriously?
Yeah. Of course, later on Jesus would go on them with that, right? That's cool to have, but it all ultimately where it should go. Hands and feet and head is good, but ultimately it must be in our hearts.
Brain.
Yeah. Brain housing group and heart. Okay. So here we see, you know, these different situations. I think it may be even good, the four situations listed. When you talk to your kids about rules and things of God, when you sit in the house. I think most of us say, yeah, I do when I'm sitting on the couch, right? Or when you walk along the road. I like going on walks with my girls. Sometimes one of the things I do is, you know, even with a busy schedule, say, hey, I'm going to take one at a time, walk with them, and then talk to them also as well, right? So it's not only I'm telling them what's right only when they're wrong, okay? But being proactive, you know, asking them, talking to them about the things of God, right? When you lie down, right? You know, most of us probably read, idea of reading to the kids before they sleep. And when you rise up, also early in the morning, also as well, okay? So I think it's a good question to ask, which of these four is your weakness or strength, and also weakness, and maybe further opportunity to be able to share your family rules and also what God's law is, okay? Also, when you discipline your child, ask to clarify if they heard the rule too, okay? Ask if they clarify if they heard the rule. If you haven't explained the rule clearly or adequately, that's something you can work on, right? So that also works on us who are communicating, also with parenting. Also, maybe we're sometimes too busy doing so many things in life, we haven't been telling them what is God's requirement, or what is it that we want of them. So I think that's important. Then you notice this is not just only what's wrong with the kid, it's also a reflection of our own parenting responsibility, the kids we have. And if you haven't explained the rule clearly and adequately, then let them know. Sometimes they say, no, I didn't hear it. You know, sometimes they're like, hey, I told you four times. Well, I didn't hear it at all. I don't think you said four times. And you know you did. Then that's when you say, no, you did. You chose not to. You were caught up. You did. So then, therefore, you realize it's not just the sin you've done, but also what sin of disobedience also as well. Okay? So that's point number one, is be what? Clearer rules. And that sometimes prevents problems, right? It's preventative, okay? Or even prevent them being spanked unnecessarily, if we can do that, okay? And that means, you know, when they are spanked, you want to make it clear it's not because you messed up, but it's, you know, it really is them, okay? With that. By the way, let me say this also as well. There's times where I'm wrong. I think it's important to even tell our kids, hey, you know, I'm not right either. Well, I was wrong here. Or maybe I could have done a better job saying this to you also as well, okay? So let's go to point number two. So notice, by the way, this is not just Asian spanking, okay? You just spank no matter what. Because I remember as a little kid, maybe you guys had the same experience. Our neighborhood had a whole big block war where all these kids were fighting. Like these, you know, a group of a lot of Vietnamese, Cambodian kids, nothing wrong with that. But it was a big fight. And then it was a big neighborhood fight, and my dad came out. You know, my dad was more scary than all these other people's dad. Because when my dad came out, everyone kind of stopped. And I didn't know what my dad was doing. And he just said, Gemini! And everyone just stopped. And I got beat. And in front of everyone. Before everyone actually stopped. Like, even off the side fighting. And even the parents were arguing and everything. And they all had to stop for a moment where there was an agreement. And say, hey, Jimmy didn't do anything. Like, he's not in the fighting. And so my dad, okay. Go inside, you know. With that, okay? So all that to say that when we spank, we also notice that there's a lot of communication that's involved, okay? With that, we're clarifying things, we're asking, do we understand, right? Because the purpose is not spanking just to beat them, right? We shouldn't be that we're Asian, right? We want A's in everything. It shouldn't be we want B's and beatings in God's eyes. So, oh, we just beat them good? Yeah, A plus with a stick, bam, boom, boom, right? You know, but then also when it comes to what? We're actually instructing, because the purpose of disciplining is instruction, right? It's not just beating them, that you're frustrated, it's dishonoring, whatever, okay? So let's go to the second point, be self-controlled, okay? So when you discipline, we must also be what? Self-controlled, okay? So there's three reasons for that, okay? Reason number one, self-control in of itself is important for a fruitful Christian life. Where did I leave off that? Okay. Sophie, would you be able to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8? I know it's a little long. Actually, would you read verse 5? And then Edward, read verse 6. Oscar, read verse 7. And I'll read verse 8. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8.
Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge.
And in your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, and your perseverance, godliness.
And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love.
For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So listed here is a list of items of Christian qualities that, well, qualities Christians should have, right? If you see verses 6, it actually mentioned one of them is self-control, right? Notice these qualities should be increasing in the Christian life in verses 8, right? Where it says that these qualities are yours and are increasing. So it's not just only we have self-control, but we actually are growing in what? Having more self-control. And in light of this, this verse also says in verses 8, also gives us the result. The result is what? That if you, knowing these things, the result is you be what? Much more, you will not be useless, not be unfruitful in the things of God. And how much more so in the area of what? Of disciplining our kids, okay? So if you want a parenting that is immediately rejected by your kid, is you yourself have no way, self-control, okay? By the way, kids are smart enough to tell the difference between principle, correction, and what? You're just mad, angry, upset, or taking out a bad day on them, okay? So reason one is self-control is important for a fruitful Christian life. So you should just blow up on them, okay? Reason number two, if we discipline without self-control, it does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Often when we discipline without self-control, we often have what attitude? What attitude do we have? Anger, right? Anger, okay? James 1:20 says, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, okay? So I think that's important to realize. If you're just only disciplining out of anger, then it actually doesn't accomplish what? The righteousness of God. That's the second reason why we must what? Practice self-control. And finally, the third reason, I think, is also you don't want to be a hypocrite, okay? You don't want to be a hypocrite. So we're going to read Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5. Let's actually go around. Each person read one verse. Margaret, would you be able to read Matthew 7, verse 1, and then Nancy, verse 2? Or actually Chris verse 2, Nancy verse 3, and then Sophie verse 4, and then Edward verse 5, okay? Matthew 7 verse 1 to 5, okay?
Do not judge so that you will not be judged.
For with the judgment you pronounce, with the judgment you pronounce, it will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and not consider the plank in your own eye?
Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye?
You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Yeah, this verse is from who? Jesus, right? Every time I read this verse, it never gets old. Because it's so relevant, right? Here we see how bad hypocrisy is in God's eyes. And our kids see it too, okay? Think about maybe when we were little. You guys remember the first time you discover inconsistency with your own parents? I bet it's probably a lot more younger than what your parents realize, right? So I think that's important to realize. You don't want to discipline with lack of self-control, because then you become what? Hypocritical, right? For example, if you're disciplining a child for a bad temper, but you also have an ungodly bad temper, and you say, hey, you shouldn't have a bad temper, and you're swearing or whatever else, right? And then you discipline them, guess what happened? Who's the bigger hypocrite? You, right? Another example is this. You're telling the child has no self-control, right? They really, really want to buy this item in the store, and they have no self-control, everything else, and then you're spanking them like crazy with no self-control, guess what happened? You're doing the same thing, right? So I think it's important as application. Don't spank a child out of anger. Not perfect with this, but this is something we should strive for, okay? If you're still very angry, it is helpful to send the child to their room or somewhere for you to cool down. Okay, so I'm not really necessarily a fan of, Americans do? They call it, timeout.
It doesn't work with all kids.
Yeah, it doesn't work with all kids. Some kids are just, okay, I just have time to be away from my parents scolding. I know, definitely growing up, it would not have worked for me, right? Like, because I'm trying to avoid my mom and dad, yelling at me, right? The timeout was like, oh, I get to be alone with myself and go off my imagination and think about other things, right? Or read or something else like that, okay? So, So it's important, but at the same time, if you can't have control, I think it's important sometimes sending them to a room or sit in a corner. What we do sometimes is sit here in one corner and face over there. So calm down, and then we go. So it's really for our sanctification and then their benefit also as well. Okay. So it's not necessarily time out. It's not, you know, teaching them is not like, oh, you get two punishment, time out and spanking. It's like, no, this is to cool down so that you get a proper, so that if you do a Yelp review, you give a 5 on a, you know, God's measurement, right? That you're not doing that out of anger, okay? So, to help with self-control sometimes is also helpful to speak up softly. This is what I do, actually, and not just with kids, just as a pastor, is sometimes I feel like, oh, people are wrong. Yes, and, you know, I want to make sure I'm not misinterpreting. But sometimes it's helpful to not get so worked up by actually going in speaking loud, much more softer, right? I think there's a difference between a preaching voice and a counseling voice, right? I'd rather have, when it's correcting, I'd rather have a counseling voice or speaking gently. I'd rather have the problem when I'm meeting with someone or eating as a boy and I'm going to rebuke them for whatever sin, and they're saying, hey, you know what? It's so loud here. Speak up a little bit. What are you saying, Jimmy? Right? I'd rather have that than like everyone knows, hey, what's this guy's business, right? So I think what helps is already just, I think speaking softly is one of those things that's already helpful. To lower the anger or be self-control, okay? Because even if later I get a little worked up, like if I'm speaking normally, then I'm getting worked up, my volume, then all of a sudden they're like, and which before used to be a hard thing, I would say, hey, how come you're yelling at me? I said, I'm not yelling, I'm just speaking, God to you, right? Whatever, then they'll be like, and then before you know it, the problem, because it's making me upset. Well, versus I'm speaking very gently, then all of a sudden when I'm voice is normal voice, hey, there's not that extra thing. See, you know, they get upset, and then now it's like they're reacting to your reaction, and you're reacting to the reaction, and then the issue is never fully addressed, okay? So also, to help with self-control, it's helpful to be proactive in nipping in the bud a child's sinful behavior. You know what I mean by that? Especially, for example, you see the kids running around, going all crazy, and one of them is getting something and keep on antagonizing the other sister, like, you know, like trying to make her scared. And then, no! And then you're just thinking, oh, it's okay, just move on. I got better things to do with my phone. Then what happens? It builds up, and then, you know, it starts stewing, right? Like the crock pot, and then it explodes volcanically. Okay, so to avoid that is what? Sometimes the better thing is to nip it in the bud, okay? To deal with it right away. So that way you don't have what? Inability to practice self-control, okay? With that. So I think parenting, we have to be very proactive, okay? So it's not just, oh, how we spank them. It's also sometimes proactively before we spank them also as well, right? Of how do we, you know, don't just view parenting, your only tool is spanking. If your only tool in your tool belt is a hammer, well, I wouldn't want you to be my contractor, right? I wouldn't want you to be my repairman, okay? So same thing also as well. Okay, spanking is one tool in parenting, but that's not the only thing. So sometimes it's good to nip it in the bud early on, being proactive. Okay, being in a private place. Okay, the third part is discipline. When you do discipline them, be in a private place. And there's three reasons for this. Okay, three reasons. Okay, first one is Matthew 18:15. Where do we leave off? Edward, you were last one. Read earlier. Verse 5.
Yeah.
Matthew 18:15. Oscar, could you read Matthew 18:15?
If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother.
Now, I know in the context, Matthew 18:15 is talking about church discipline, not necessarily talking about parenting. But I think there's a principle to still draw from this, because I think Matthew 18:15, what we read is that when someone sins, what should you do first? Go talk to the pastor?
No.
One of the things I try to do is when people say this problem, I now try to be, hey, you know, before I confront, because in the past, people will tell me things, I confront and they're like, what's your evidence? You know, that person that said, oh, I want to tell you, but please don't rat me out, or whatever else, right? Then all of a sudden it becomes like, I'm the bad guy, right? But the biblical thing is, if that person sees it, that person says, hey, I would really encourage you to talk to that person, right? The one-on-one, true or not. I think people appreciate that more. They're like, hey, you told the pastor, or you told another person, right, or small group leader, or whatever else, right? Matthew 18:15, biblical ways of confronting one-on-one. And by the way, this one-on-one is before church discipline, before you involve others. So this is a normal Christian life, okay? So how much more so also when we discipline our kids, when we correct them? It should be what? We also what? Correct them one-on-one, okay? Now I know my kids, maybe your kids are like mine if you have more than one. When one of them is in trouble, do they like it when they're in trouble and the other ones are just kind of watching, right? You know, let's just say one of the girls are in trouble and the rest are just looking. Right? How does the other child feel? What do they do? Reaction?
Yeah, not me.
But how about the child that have spectators? Their sisters. They're like, it's unfair. How can go away or whatever else and all that problem, right? Okay. So in order to prevent them from further sins and problems, one on one, there's a place for that. Okay. We're like that too, right? How many of us really enjoy? If a sermon, the pastor says, and by the way, this thing, I'm talking to you, right? And say your name. And, you know, the four social also as well, right? The last four. Then you'll be like, well, that's a little too personal, right? With that in front of everyone, okay? Reason number two, you don't want to humiliate the child of bitterness, okay? You really don't want, and by the way, sometimes it might not be the result is right away, the bitterness. Sometimes it might be when they're older. And they look back teenage years and whatever, and they're bitter. Of their experience of what you do. So you don't want problem. You might say, oh, you know, my child's okay. They don't have that. Hey, you never know how a child is when they're what? Older. Okay? Think about how many people we know, or maybe ourselves, with that, you know, of our parents, right? Things, right at that moment, you didn't react it, but later on, you see the impact, okay? So reason number two, you don't want to humiliate the child of bitterness, okay? Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and by it it may be defiled. While it's true that the one that's bitter is responsible for the child, you also don't want to contribute to them with that further sin, okay? God is clear. He doesn't want bitterness in our lives. And by the way, bitterness always destroys us first before it destroys others, even though it's viewing others negatively, okay? Yet when we discipline our kid, we can minimize their ability to be bitter by not humiliating them in public before others that don't need to see them getting spanked, okay? Now, if, let's just say, one of my daughters did something wrong to someone else, like they hit one of my other daughters, then yeah, I think that's the place where it's like, hey, you're wrong, right? And you need to say sorry to this person. And so I'm not talking about that. I'm saying hey, others don't necessarily have to be there. They have no right to need to know with that. Then you don't need to have what? An audience with them. So you want to spare them that, okay? Wouldn't it be so sad if you discipline a child only for that child to still further sin by what? Being bitter. Maybe they were very joyfully doing something carelessly. And they were very, but it's a culpable, negligent, sinful carelessness. But now you're sinning another way that's even probably even humanly more worse by being bitter. So you want to protect them from that, right? Be careful of disciplining in public, right? It's like, ah, you're upset, and just, you know, going for thrashing in the supermarket, okay? Reason number three, there's a third reason. I don't really see this in a book, but I think I want to speak to this. Is to avoid enablers of sin in the audience. You know what I mean by that? Maybe I'll give an example before we move that. When I was little, you know, my dad would always spank me everywhere in public. I remember when I was get in trouble, suspended with school. You know, I always cry. You know, I think the teachers and all the principal thought I was crying because I'm in trouble. But I'm crying because I don't want to lose my dad. Because when my dad comes, he spanks them in front of, you know, this Dr. Stewart, this American Anglo, you know, principal who had no kid but a, you know, ED, not EDD, is it whatever, a doctorate in education, right? So my dad will be like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, my son is so bad, my son is so fat, and then, you know, he hits me in the head, and I'm like crying, Dad, please, and he's like, no, I'm hitting you to let them know that I'm taking my parenting seriously, but in my mind, I'm thinking, they're not seeing it this way, I'm going to lose a child, you know, I'm going to lose my father, they're going to take me away and just put me in some crazy foster system, please, Dad, no, and they're looking at this, like, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm even exasperating, you know, as a little kid, you're thinking, what could you do but cry, right, because you realize that they can't understand your hot guy and, you know, all the whole thing going on, and they're like, oh, I didn't, you know, open the school, to bring the you know, the gatekeeper, the guy, the custodian, you know, because they're kind of nervous, and my dad is, oh, I'm so sorry, Dr. Stewart, shake their hands, like, it will never happen again, because this, you know, again, and again, I'm like, I'm crying with that, okay? But then there'll be time when, especially when my parents take me to a grocery store that is not Chinese, where I'm getting spanked, or this happens in McDonald's in Almaty on Valley Boulevard. You know, I'm there, I did something wrong, and my mom and dad, my dad is like spanking me. But while I'm being spanked, I'm looking around for what?
Sympathy,
right? So I look over there to the Vietnamese family, you know, the mom and dad didn't even notice me, right? I'm crying, they don't even notice. It doesn't even faze them. Like, I never existed, right? And you see the Hispanic, they're a little bit like, huh, right? And you see an African-American, that mom's like, yeah, you know, you ain't gonna look over to me to get some pity, right? Right? The whole thing, right? And you see someone that's maybe a little more Anglo, and they'll be like, and they'll be like, I'm crying even more works, right? Like, it's even more painful than it was before, okay? So there is that enabling also as well, right? So sometimes I see that with even my own kids, okay? So even, for instance, when I go over to my parents' house, now my mom is such a grandma, okay? She has revisionary history now. Like, she never spanked me, right? I remember one time when we were over, she was telling me, you know what, you don't have to hit your kid. And I'm sitting down eating, it was like Christmas, and I dropped my food. And then I dropped it, and then my wife was there too, I think. I dropped the food and I picked it up. I looked around and I saw my mom. And I already put the food in my mouth. And my mom was like, why did you eat your food? If you go to church, if someone sees you, does that look like a pastor? So it hits my in the head. Then I was so shocked. My sister was like, yeah, you shouldn't have, blah, blah, blah. And then we went back to try to argue to convince her. And I just burst out laughing because we were in the middle trying to convince her that she did spank us, right? But then now, so with my kids, also as well with my kids, what I have now, when I have to discipline them, I don't discipline it for my mom because why? My mom was like, oh, Hakaliano. Out there from Hakka to speaking Mandarin, like, Hakaliano. Like, so much pity. So, you know, it's so sad and everything else. So I take them into the bathroom, right? And then, you know, I tell them when we go, before you go out, you need to smile. Because why? Sometimes I'll say, hey, you're wrong. Even before, I'm already telling them they're wrong. What do their eyes do? I actually sometimes grab their face. Look at me. And cover their little eyes with their. You know, and they're trying to look for what? Apo's eyes, right? Apo's eyes, okay? For what? For a little bit of help and to get out of this negative situation. So sometimes we have to be aware of that, okay? We have to be aware of that. So the application, by the way, Romans 1:32 talks about those that sin who approves negative things, okay? But here we go on to application, discipline in private, okay? Sometimes in public places, you might have to go to the car or to the bathroom, okay? Sometimes you might have to let the child know they'll be disciplined when they get back home, okay? I think sometimes it's important to have code words to let them know, okay? Because sometimes even in front of certain kids or certain area, I remember once I went to the beach, right? We were walking and all of a sudden it's like the kids almost walk to the, I forgot, I think it was going to walk to the thing, and I grabbed, hey, you cannot do this, and now I'm going to spank you, then there's no one there at the beach. And all of a sudden, a car drove by, right? Escalade, right? You know, I was like, oh, man. They're looking at me. You know, Chad, I can't believe what he's doing, right? It's like, oh, okay, relax, you know, or whatever else, you know, with that. So all that is to say that sometimes you have to discipline, and sometimes you cannot at that moment say, huh. And you just have to hold the kid and say, you know, and go back home. Whatever your, ours is Charlie Brown. Okay? Charlie Brown, okay? They're like, I don't want a Charlie Brown! And then everyone in the office is like, huh. Oh, the kid's just being bratty, okay? I don't want a Charlie Brown! It's like, okay. So, okay, you know, don't worry. Yeah, I'll get you a Charlie Brown. I'll make an offer you can't refuse, okay? So, with that, okay? Other times you have to let the child know. It'll be when you know, the next opportunity. Also, be careful of extended family members and relatives that can send mixed signal. Right? I know my mom means well. You know, I know my mom sometimes works very hard when I have to tell the kid, hey, how come you secretly threw away this food? I need to talk to you right now. Let's go. I see my mom's like, she knows the right thing, but then she has to leave. And then she's like peeking a little, and she's like hoping the child's okay and everything else. Right? And then it's like, hey, mom, don't worry. You know, it'll be okay. Like, we turned out okay, mom.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I go over hugging my mom. Hey, we turned out okay. Thank you for spanking me, right? You know, it's like my mom went from tiger mom to, like, total, I don't know, sugar grandma, right? But I tell her it's okay, you know, to be a tiger mom, to be with a bamboo broom, because what, our people, that's why they invented the tiger bomb, right? Okay? So, in light of all this, we discipline in private, okay? So be careful with that, okay? And so they won't be humiliated, right? But also just as well with, just to make sure that it's not an enabling sin when there's an audience, okay? Conclusion, in ending, we're not perfect in our parenting. Do I do all these three things perfectly? No. Have I disciplined my kids ever in public? Yes. So these are things we need to work on. I'm convicting myself even going through this. But also remember God's grace. When we fall short, we need to go confess to God. Okay. And also there's times where, hey, I'm wrong. I need to tell my daughters, hey, I discipline more out of anger than out of principle. Will you forgive me also as well? I think we can learn a lot from children too. One of the Bible study I want to do later this year is, there's times where the Bible says we can learn something from kids. It's not it's a two-way thing. We'll get to that. But one of the things that they're so neat is kids are actually very forgiving when they're young. Okay. Maybe the teenage years will be a little different, right? Maybe the adult years will be a little different. You could spank a kid, discipline them, and afterwards say, hey, I love you. It's like, I love you, da-da, and a full hug, right? You know, it's like, huh, it's so tight sometimes. I wonder if they're punishing. No, it's not. But there's just so much love, right? Holding my throat, like, I can't breathe, right? Because they're just, what, forgiving and loving. So in the same way, we go to them, but ultimately we do all this. Don't forget God's grace. Grace to forgive when we have not been disciplining, like sin of omission, and also sin of commission, when we blew it, when we got upset, when we lost self-control, when we didn't discipline them private because we were so absorbed with anger or whatever. But also there's sanctifying grace. He died for our sins so that He would not only make us go to heaven, allow us to go to heaven, but also continue work and change our character. Let me stop at this point.